So many antics.
Antics yep. all over the place.
Every day an antic was
That's part of the cleanup
place.
Is you had to clean up all the antics.
A lot of, well, and there was a lot of, okay, what lives at the lake dies at the lake.
Oh.
So, yeah.
A lot of dead yeah. stuff laying around. Wow.
So we had corpses to take care of.
Oh, man. We know where the bodies are buried, Timmy time.
Yep, yep. Hello, all you big-ass runners and walkers out there. This is Josh Heimbach, and I'm a big-ass trail and road runner from Fort Worth, Texas, where the Trinity River bends, the West begins, and the pool of friends never ends. Welcome to the Big Ass Runner Podcast, where we entertain and encourage trail runners and walkers from all over Texas, Latvia, and the world beyond. Now here's your host, Jeff, the original Big Ass Harrell.
Thank you, Josh. Amazing introduction. By the way, Josh is an amazing runner, and I didn't know this, but an amazing poet as well. As you just observed, well, thank you again, Josh, for that introduction. Josh holds many course records here around the Dallas-Fort Worth area and beyond. He is a fantastic runner. So thank you for that intro, Josh. As he said, my name is Jeff Harrell. This is the Big Ass Runner Trail Running Podcast, episode number 166. Great show for you today. In segment number one, the coaches are back. We talk a lot about aerobic base and building that aerobic base. We don't talk a lot about hill training and why it's important, but that changes today. So the coaches are going to talk about why hill training is so important. What are the benefits? How do you do it? That is segment one in the coaching corral. So mosey on in. In segment number two, he is back. The golden vocals, the flowing locks. It's Timmy time and a special guest. You're going to let, we haven't had Timmy time sing in quite a while, and he is going to bring it like perhaps he never has before. You're going to enjoy that. If you're out running, you're going to get a little spring in your step, so to speak. That is segment number two. But first, have you signed up for Lake Murray? We are planning some fun events. You're going to hear in segment two, we may have an idea that we're going to do on Friday night before the race. So sign up Lake Murray if you're looking for a race in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, or you're looking to maybe travel this fall to a fun race. It's in Oklahoma, Lake Murray. They've got cabins you can rent. You can camp. There's great camping there. If you want to make a bit of a road trip, check it out. Go to blazetrails.com. Sign up for Lake Murray. We're all going to be out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've already heard from a lot of folks that are going to make the trip as well. So go to blazetrails.com. Join us at Lake Murray, October 28th. It's going to be a great time. Well, with that, let's get going on episode number 166. A big ass runner.
Well, howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Coaching Corral. So mosey on in, watch your step, and stay a while.
Well, welcome back to the Coaching Corral today. As always, we have Coach Melody. Coach Melody, welcome back.
Hi, thank you. Happy to be here.
And Coach Greg. Coach Greg, welcome back as well.
Great. Thanks to be back.
I'm excited to talk to you guys today. We're talking about maybe something.
I don't even know what I said.
I don't either, but I'm excited to talk to you guys because I think as coaches, when our athletes see hill training, sometimes they can think different things. Sometimes they can curse our name, I think. We'll see. But I think hill training is so important in programming and getting athletes ready for races, especially if their race is got a lot of vert. But I think hill training is important even if you're running a flat race. So we're going to talk about that. And Coach Melody, this week I'll start with you. Talk to us a little bit about why you think hill training is important for athletes.
For sure. So hill training, okay, I feel like most people know 80-20 running, or at least know the basic concept, right? 80% of your runs are done at an easy effort and 20% of your run volume is done at a high effort. So the importance of hill training, and this is hill training or any kind of speed work, but speed work is going to help you build your speed and improve your running economy. And with hill work, it's kind of strength training in disguise. Going up the hills, you're really building your muscles and working that anaerobic system. So those are some of the big things with hill training. One more thing that I would add is mental toughness. I feel like doing hill sprints is a great way to strengthen your mind because they're hard. They're very hard.
Yes, they're not the easiest going up any kind of hill for me as a Clydesdale. You know, I can do it at a slow pace, but it's a little bit more of a challenge. I definitely burn more calories as a bigger athlete. Coach Greg, what about you? When you're thinking about hill training for your athletes, why is that important?
Yeah, so I'll echo what Melody just said. I did have a good phrase, strength, speed, and specificity. So she really hit on everything. It's a great strength workout. So obviously, you know, you're building your quads, hamstrings. But to touch on the running economy piece, it is also, you know, I can't remember who said it, speed work in disguise. And also, if you're a new runner or injury prone, it's a good way to incorporate speed work because as you're running uphill, you know, you're shortening your stride. So you're also lessening the impact of running, say, those kinds of efforts on a flatter track or pavement. So you are getting the same speed work stimulus with less risk. So yeah, the strength, the speed, and you know, there are also the mental aspect, and I'll change it a little bit where you need you're also obviously you're developing mental toughness, but you also need the first time you run a race and you see a hill, that should not be the first time you've seen a hill. So you need to know that probably not going to sprint up. I need to know what effort can I get to make it up without burning all my matches. So something that you need to experience in training so you're racing it well at a proper effort during the race.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I don't have a lot to add. Strength. And I think one thing that when I did the Lydiard certification, they talk about with hills. And this isn't something, I don't know if you guys spend a lot of time on this topic with your athletes or not, but we don't get a lot into form, you know, the way you actually run, your running form. But Lydiard is really big on hill training to help your running form. And if you think about sprinting up a hill, you pretty much have to get your legs up, you know, you got to get your knees up, you've got to get your arms moving. And so that's another thing in terms of the Lydiard program that they think hill training is very important is just really help your overall form as well. If you're running hills really slowly and slogging up them, your form tends to be poor. Like you start to hunch over. I've done the slog, and that's really not the intent. I think the intent is to bound or sprint up. It's get those knees up, get that form, and then build that strength as you guys talked about. So that's one thing I would add. Coach Melody, as you're thinking about adding hill work into your programming for your athletes, how do you think about that? Does it depend on the athlete? Does it depend on the race that they're training for? What are some of the things that you're thinking about?
Yeah, so this is definitely one of those hard questions because it depends on so many things,
variables,
right?
Yep.
But kind of a basic rule of thumb that I use for hill training is, as far as programming it in, is I feel like hill training should be programmed into your routine all year round. It should always be there. But how much of it you do depends on where you're at. So I typically do a lot more speed work and strength work in the off season. And then in the on season, when it's more about getting the miles in and building that base, then I'll usually bring hill workouts down to maybe once a week. But I would say you want to have that speed work in your program all year round, at least once a week.
And kind of following up on that, if you have an athlete that you know is training for a very kind of hilly, high vertical race, does that change a little bit of the percentages that you're working with?
Yeah, yeah. If they're going to be doing more climbing, we'll throw hill sprints in there. And I also like to throw in tempo hill work. So like finding a mountain that goes up and up and up and up, and either speed hiking it with a weighted vest, or even running up it into zone 3, low zone 4 for, you know, depending on what distance they're running, but 15 to 45 minutes, sometimes even a little bit longer than that. But most of the time you don't need to go too much longer than that.
Yep. Love it. Coach Craig, what about you? How are you? You're working with some flatter areas here in Texas. So Melody's got the benefit of having mountains in her area. How are you working with your athletes in terms of hill training?
Yeah, so we have incorporated different ways. So I'll give examples. I have a strictly a road marathoner, and while she's training for Chicago, we are keeping hills in her weekly training. Chicago is not a hilly course, but we want to continue to develop strength within her training. So we're incorporating hills. It's just part of her easy run day. She does have a separate speed workout, so we're not treating it where we're doing like fast repeats, or, you know, like a hill stride or shorter bouts. I just want her to be able to maintain her effort during those hills. And then we have others that are actually training for mountains. So Melody does have the benefit of real mountains. So we have a, and I think I probably talked about this on a past podcast, but the Man Maker. So it's Rob Carr workout, but we do it on the treadmill where you do 8 times 6 minutes at like a 7% grade. And it's like a tempo effort. It is a hard effort. And then you have a 3-minute rest. So ideal, but you keep it at the same grade. So if you're on a mountain, you would run for 8 minutes at a steady effort. And then you could walk for 3 minutes and then continue running. So there's ways to do that. And then she had on the point where you put on a weight vest. And if I have someone training for Run Rabbit Run, and the race starts with a 5-mile climb up a ski slope. So obviously he would not be running that at all, but he needs to know exactly what it feels like to go up a 15. Actually, it's more than 20% grade for 4 or 5 miles without spiking your heart rate above a certain level. So, you know, you put on a heavy pack and you, unfortunately for us, we're grinding it out either on a stair climber or a treadmill as steep as you can go. And it's just modulating that effort, you know, breathing, putting your head down and just getting used to what the suck of a long climb is going to feel like, because you know, amount of repeats on a short hill are going to get you used to what that feels like. So you, unfortunately, we'll have to do it on a treadmill, or you have the benefit of mountains. So there's different ways to include hill training in your workout depending on what races you have coming up. But even if you're if you're not training for any kind of hilly races, you can still have hills in your program. Just treat it as your speed work day, you know, short hill strides for that same running economy, similar to the Lydiard method, where you're using it to focus on form, same way as you would do, you know, 6 times 20-second strides on the end of a flat thing. You can definitely do it on the hills as well. So that's more, again, more about form building, the bounding part that you talked about, Jeff. So there's definitely lots of ways to continue to incorporate hill training when it's even not specific to a hilly race.
Yeah, I'm working with a couple of newer athletes, and what I've landed on is, because, you know, you really want to focus, you mentioned 80-20, Melody, you want to really focus on that, you know, aerobic base. You want to build that base, right? And the wider the base, the better, I think, especially with newer athletes, because, you know, the goal is to keep our athletes running healthy as best we can. And so really the first several weeks, I'm really focused on that, you know, really slow Maffetone, however you want to say it, that those zones 2-3, RPEs below 3. But I've noticed that they get itchy for some speed work and itchy for opening the hips up and itchy for that. And so that's where I think with newer athletes, I want to hold off a little bit longer on hills, but then work it in slowly over time to build that strength, to open up the hips, to get that form going. And so, yeah, for me right now, I've got a couple of experienced athletes that are beyond that. But for my newer ones, it's holding off as not as long as I can, but holding out maybe longer than they want to before I work into that, just to keep that aerobic base really, really strong before we kind of add on some of the speed work and some of the hill work. Maybe another question here is, and Mel, you probably don't have this problem, except maybe when it's really bad conditions out there, but if you don't have access to hills or you're traveling or things like that, what are some other ways? You mentioned treadmill, Coach Greg, but other ways that you're helping your athletes with hill work, Stairmaster or treadmills or other things? What are some of the other things that you're working with your athletes on? We'll start with you, Coach Melody.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring this up. So this is something that I'm testing with my athletes, but we did a podcast with Run Brian Run. Have you guys heard of him? He has a really big trail running website. He used to be an elite Spartan racer, and then he switched over to ultra running. And we had him on our podcast, and he talked about strength training. And we talked about this too, is how can you train for hills when you don't have hills? And his answer was lunges. And he said that he would have sessions of over 2,000 lunges in a row, getting ready for his hill climbs. Right. So I've been doing this with a lot of my athletes. I've been doing the lunge challenge. So they start with, after every single run, they do 10 walking lunges every single day. And then the next week they add 10 more. So now they're doing 20 lunges every single day. Then the next week they add 10 more. So now they're doing 30 walking lunges every single day. And I haven't gotten to the point where I've done this and then someone has gone and ran the hills. But I have had a lot of feedback that all of a sudden I can run up the hills, or my legs feel stronger, or they're sending me pictures of like, look, I have the thigh line now. And so that's something that I'm testing. And honestly, it makes a lot of sense to me that that would help on the hills. So
yeah, I love that. I had not heard of that. Although there's a mountain legs.
Yep.
Is that what you're going to miss? Did I steal it from you, Coach?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. I'm pausing time out. I'm going to Coach Greg.
Now, so I was just going to mention the same. I think it's a David Roche workout, but I think he started with just a 5-minute mountain legs workout that you would add at the end of a run, just a sandwich at the end. So, you know, squats, lunges, step ups. You don't even have to, depending on what your body can do. Maybe you add Bulgarian split squats or split squats, but you shouldn't underestimate how much 5 minutes of lunges feels.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot. Now, 1,000,
that's another level.
I wouldn't start there, but I think anyone, even a beginner runner, could benefit and not be torched. Well, you will be torched, but 5 minutes of strength work and just body weight to the beginning until it feels less challenging. And then we start adding weights, more reps, and bigger volume. So yeah, I think that's a great way, apart from stair climber and incline, to, if we want to get crazy, we can talk about dragging tires. I'm on and off about that, but yeah, you don't need any extra equipment to build mountain legs. You just need to just put in the work.
Let's land on this, because you guys have hit all the ones I thought were important. The strength benefits of it, and making sure that the hill you run in your race is not the first one you've ever seen. You've actually practiced on it, form, all the things we've talked about. But I think for a lot of runners, when they get some of these bigger hills, they're not going to be running it for some of these longer races. So talk a little bit about how you're working with athletes to make sure that, for Coach Greg, I may be stealing your answer, but you had me with a weighted vest, at Irwin Park, making sure that I was able to kind of really work and hike quickly. Power hiking, I think, can be underrated when it comes to your ultra running, because the faster you can power hike, the faster you're going to hit the finish line. So Melody, talk to us a little bit about how you're working with your runners, and maybe it's not, you're not going to be running the hills, but you need to be ready for the hills.
Yeah. Well, basically what you said. So I do throw in some weighted vest speed hiking, but I think it's just important to know that training your hiking is just as important as training your running. So going on specific workouts where I'm not running today, I'm hiking today. And I think even it can be really beneficial to do, like, instead of a long run, to replace your long run with, you're just going to hike a mountain. You're going to hike to the peak of this mountain. And I mean, if you have a mountain, hike for this long on a treadmill or however you want to do it. But I think that can be really beneficial to hike to the top of this mountain and let yourself hike back down too. Learn how to hike downhill. And I think that's a really good mental practice too. Like, learn how to slow down. There's a lot of things that you can learn on a long, slow hike, you have to pack a lot more food. I feel like that can help you dial in your nutrition because your body can digest things a little bit better when you're not running. So practice your nutrition at a walk, learn how to walk and eat at the same time, but you're using different muscles. So because I'm a 6-7 months pregnant, I can't really run right now. So all I do is hike. And what's really interesting is, you know, I could go run 20 miles and I'd feel tired, but I wouldn't really feel sore. But then I go hike 15 miles and it takes me, you know, 8 hours and I'm out there longer. So you get time on your feet. And then also I'm sore, like I'm sore in all these areas that I haven't been sore before. It's just interesting how you use different muscles. So I guess long story short, make sure you're also throwing in hiking into your training plan.
Yeah, you've got a built-in weighted vest. You don't even need a weighted vest. You've got,
and that's true.
It gets heavier true. Every day.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder having the weighted vest on the front than on the back.
Coach Greg, what about you?
Yeah, I going back to hiking. We talked about it many times. I think it's super important that you train for it. During the race, you can treat it as a strategy. You don't want to be the runner that tries to run everything, even the steep hills, until you can't anymore. There's a law of diminishing returns, right? There's a certain grade where you're faster walking and you're burning less energy than you are running. So you got to kind of check your ego. And so who cares if you're using your quote unquote running motion, if someone else is walking and going at, or power hiking and going at the same speed with less effort. So I think a lot of it is, if you can train for it and become very efficient, you're more willing to use it as a strategic tool during a race. I mean, not just like I'm going to run it until, and then I'll hike when I can't run anymore. No, you need to be able to throw that as a tool during a long climb so you can run later. So definitely need to train for that aspect of the race as well.
Yeah, I love that perspective, because I think a lot of times we do feel like, oh, if I'm hiking, I'm not running and therefore I'm failing. That's not at all the case. You're using hiking strategically as, like you said, a strategy to be able to, you're just trying to get through this race as efficiently and effectively as you can. And like you said, Coach Greg, power hiking is a big part of it, especially for those higher vertical races. A couple other things too I'll add, you guys kind of, I don't know who mentioned it, but poles. So you shouldn't be using poles for the first time on your race. Hopefully you've done a little bit of, because there is a bit of an art to it, I learned as I did some pole work for, that sounded weird. I was using my poles in my race at Black Canyon, and having had worked with them at Irwin Park, I was much more confident in how to work with them and use them and think, because it can be a little bit awkward as well. And then the last thing I want to mention, you guys can add on to these comments. I'm seeing more and more that rucking is a category at races where you can actually do a ruck. If you want to sign up to ruck the race, which sounds odd, you have to wear a certain, I think, number of pounds for whatever, you know, rucking division that you're in or whatever. But that might not be a bad idea to do in terms of training for some of these higher vertical races, is to actually go ruck a race and see how you do. So any thoughts on poles or rucking?
First of all, what is rucking? I actually have never heard of that.
Coach Greg, have you had any experience in that?
Yeah, so maybe it's more of a thing down here, I guess. But we actually, I think, to your point, yeah, I agree with both. And we have someone that I coach, and who coaches under me, Coach Tommy, who will be rucking one of the flatter races in Texas in April as part of his Cocodona training. So he'll be doing, I think, the 96 hour Jackalope Jam. I think it's 96 hour or 100 hour. I don't know why I picked 96. That sounds like an odd number. but he's going to do the ruck divisions and just hike it out in a 20 or 25 pound. I can't remember what the limit is. So it's just sticking on a heavy pack. And I'm sure he'll run some of it, but it's mostly just to get time on feet, and it'll be part of his Cocodona training. And yes, if I've seen multiple people who had races not use their pose properly. You are trying to propel yourself up and forward, and a lot of people are just kind of clickety clacking and not really pushing off. So definitely there is an art to it. And if you see some elite runners like Killians, and especially the Europeans who are really good at it, and they're doing it while they're running. So it's definitely something that you should practice, and it can't be the first time that you do it during a race.
Yeah, I don't know what the actual definition of wrecking is, Melody, but basically if you picture, you know, the person putting on a weighted vest and just hiking it out, like, you know, hiking, I guess, can you run in a ruck division, Greg?
You can?
Okay.
It's probably unwise for a longer race, but
you shouldn't. Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, putting on extra weight and off you go. And you probably see a lot of the military guys have done that. You'll see people wrecking with weighted vests and things like that. So, yeah.
Okay. I've seen that. I haven't heard the term rucking before.
Yeah.
I do remember this race I did a couple years ago. This guy won it, and then he had this giant pack, and everyone was like, what is he doing with that pack? And he took it off, and it was filled with dry beans. And we were like, way to go. But that was the first time that I saw rucking. So
yeah, there's, you have to have a certain poundage, you know, added onto you for these rucking divisions. So it's pretty interesting. I've been intrigued by it. See if it would help with some of my training. So sometimes if you're doing a course and you're like, I don't really want to run it, but I think rucking it sounds pretty fun. Let's do it. Well, this has been great. I think we've learned a lot. Hill training should be part of your training. It's great for strength training, for form, especially if you're doing races that are higher in vert. So thank you guys for helping us understand that, when to incorporate that into your training, and really, really appreciate your expertise in this area. Any final thoughts, final words on hill training?
No, just do it. Just get it done. If you're not already doing it, get it in.
And don't use the poles on your race day. Make sure you use the poles before that. There is a technique. Make sure you do that. Well, Coach Greg, I know you're about to head to Colorado for your race, so good luck at your race this weekend. We'll be following along. Coach Melody, final trimester. We're excited for you as well. But thank you both for joining the Coaching Corral. Watch your step on the way out, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, I think everyone is aware that we have the best partners here at the Big Ass Runner Trail Running Podcast, and one of them is Exoskin. If you, by the way, they just were rated the best base layers around. So if you're getting ready for some big races, you're training, you need to put in some miles, go to exoskin.us, pick up some socks, some base layers, use the code BAR for 10% off. That is exoskin.us. They are the best. It's a rapid copper technology. It's the 3D scene. It's the technology, honestly, and the great people there at Exoskin. Exoskin.us. Hey, Marcy.
Yes.
Do you know what time it is?
Oh, I do.
It's Timmy time.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Timmy time. What is happening, Timmy time?
I don't know, man. I'm talking to like some sort of mink little coat covered in a microphone. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have to, for, you know, this is a podcast, so yep. People can't see what you're talking. So I have new microphones.
It's sweet.
Well, actually, they're old microphones, but I pretend they're new.
They've got new covers.
Yeah. That's the thing. It didn't. One of them didn't have a cover, so I had to look around, and I found this. What is it? It looks like a dead rat.
It looks like a beaver tail, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's cool, though.
Have you been hunting recently, John? Yeah.
Because it looks like in my backyard.
Yeah. It tickles my nose.
Yeah. We have to take a picture of this.
Yeah, you definitely need a picture of this.
Let me take a picture of this.
I like it.
Well, we're excited, you guys. It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
We've missed you, Jeff.
I know. Let me get the picture of Timmy Tom talking into the beaver tail. That sounds very awkward. Talking into the beaver. That sounds It's a family show.
We're going to move on. We're going to move on.
What have you guys been up to? Have you been at the lake?
Yeah, it's
all
summer.
Summer long.
Yeah.
We are recording this in August.
Yes.
Early August. And you guys have been at the lake. You're still at the lake to some degree.
To some degree.
Are you kind of, is it kind of moseying back to Frisco at this point?
Well, today was the move out date.
Oh.
And it was a little sad. Charlie moved out all the girls' stuff. Oh. She came back to town. She'll be going back to college. So yes. We cleaned like fiends for 2 days on the house, did all the linens.
I should come to the lake house.
Now's
now.
The time. It's never been so clean.
Oh, my.
For all the listeners, just for a recap, Charlie, our daughter, and two friends went to the lake after they got out for their summer vacation from college and got jobs out there. And they lived at the lake the whole summer.
That's
with
so much
Mama B.
Yes.
That had to be so much fun.
It was a blast.
It's like
had
a movie.
So much fun. It really was.
It's like summer camp movie.
It was. And there was a lot of antics that took place.
So many antics. Antics yep. All over the place.
Every day an antic was
That's part of the cleanup
place.
Is you had to clean up all the antics.
A lot of, well, and there was a lot of, okay, what lives at the, like, dies at the lake.
Oh,
so yeah,
a lot of dead stuff laying around.
Lot, like,
so we had corpses
tails.
To take care of.
Oh man, we know where the bodies are buried. Timmy time.
Yep.
Well, if you are new to the show, first of all, welcome.
Yes, welcome.
Second of all,
hey.
If you don't know the Bazers, go back and listen to prior episodes and get caught up. But you know, Timmy time is on here now. Timmy time, you haven't been on it in a while.
Nope.
My guess is you were not at the lake. You were on tour.
I was on tour.
Were you on tour?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what I figured.
Yep. Doing bro country.
Oh, no.
There's so many things he could have been on tour for. I was like, what is he on tour for?
Well, if it's bro country, I'm out.
Bro country,
y'all. I thought it was PGA.
Yeah.
We have been playing a lot of golf.
Yeah, Timmy Town and I, you've been playing more than me, but we've been both playing quite a bit of golf.
Mm-hmm. Once a week.
Well, I hear you've been practicing golf a lot.
I've been taking lessons and I'm worse.
You know what? That's what happened to me. It was terrible.
I'm just awful.
Golf is not for me.
Well,
it's not for me.
I like it, but I got to go to the range more and, you know, who got time for that?
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody.
Well, you've been on tour. How'd it go?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Got fired like 7 times.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. I got asked to leave. Is that the same as fired?
It's the same.
Yeah.
Pretty
so
much.
Maybe 11.
I mean, okay. You never got paid for any of it. So just asked to leave.
No.
Leave the premises, sir. Yeah.
I had to pay for damages.
Ooh. Some broken eardrums.
Hey, now.
Just kidding. That was a joke.
Hello.
So
if you guys haven't heard me sing, then you are in for a treat.
You're in for a major treat.
Yes.
You're in for a big time treat. Now, your agent reluctantly let you come back on the show.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We were striking.
Yeah, that's right. You're striking
writers.
From the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he begrudgingly, is that a word?
Mm-hmm. Begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly. Yeah. I don't know. There's some kind of a word in that vicinity. Mm-hmm. And you're back.
Yep. He said, you need a payday.
Well,
he gets paid.
Yeah.
And then
I've got a candy bar named Payday. It's about as close as we're going to get.
It's the most he's been paid this tour. So thank you, Jeff.
A little bit of carbs, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of Payday.
Yep.
Well, here's what we're doing today. Timmy Time has not sung in a while.
No.
So you're going to sing today, Timmy Time. I hope your voice is ready.
Oh, it's as ready as it ever is.
I know you've been working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the concept. Marcy, you're going to guess the songs.
Okay.
And I did a little Google search.
Oh.
These are according to Billboard magazine.
Okay.
The top 5 karaoke songs.
Ooh. Oh, this is exciting.
Only done by Timmy Time.
Only done by Timmy Time.
There's only one way to do these songs, and it's Timmy Time style. So we're gonna start in reverse order, Timmy Time. We're gonna start with.
I was
all ready for those. I know. Go to the last.
We're hitting number 5 and working our way up.
Now I will say some of these we've actually done before.
Yeah, that was like 7 years ago.
I know. So you can never do these enough.
No.
And these are not going to be duets. These are going to be Timmy Time only.
You're not singing with me?
Heck no. You're
I don't know. Sometimes he joins in. He can't help himself.
I can't help it sometimes.
I'm usually humming in the background.
Especially when I mess up real bad and forget the melody.
Yeah, I'll do a little beatbox from time to time.
There's stuff that happens.
So Timmy Time, if you're ready, and The Big Ass Herd, if you're listening, are you ready?
You guys best be ready.
If you're running right now, first of all, your form looks fantastic.
just, you're so fast.
Man, you're looking great. And enjoy this as you're running. This will take your mind off the pain. It'll take your mind off a lot of things, actually.
Right. Just don't trip.
You guys ready?
Number five. Ready, Timmy Time?
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to feel that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard? It's so hardcore. I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times, I fear myself.
Here we go.
I'm on the deep end, watches are diving. I never meet the ground. Crash through the surface where they can't hurt us. We're far from the shallows now.
Boom! That was fantastic.
You nailed that, honey.
That was amazing.
That was amazing.
Was I singing on key?
Totally.
You had several keys going there. There were lots of keys. There were keys flying around. And I'm waving at the neighbors. Neighbors are concerned. Everything's okay. It's okay.
I'm surprised that the family has not run upstairs to see what's happening.
Yeah. Well, they're used to it.
Yeah, true.
They're used to it.
Yeah. Was it a little loud?
No.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
It was great.
Do you know what that
song? Lady
Gaga
has got nothing on you.
Never.
I'll sing it with her.
Cutie Patootie with the blue eyes.
Bradley
Cooper.
Cutie Patootie Cooper. Man.
Cutie Patootie Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
In the Shallows.
Whoa.
Well done.
Nice. Timmy Time. That was fantastic. Boom.
Yeah, you nailed that.
Felt good.
Well,
I haven't sang in about 6 months.
Well,
so.
You belted it like nobody's business.
Because it is nobody's business. Nobody that was fantastic. I think anyone that tries this for karaoke now, the bar has been set.
Oh, forget about it. That song needs to be retired.
Yep. Kind of like Dirk's jersey. We're going to retire Shallow.
Yep. Retire Shallow.
Shallow is now in the deep end. It's gone.
Here you go.
All right, that was number five the top five karaoke songs. Taking a sip of water, as am I.
Maybe gargle.
I'm not singing, but Timmy Time is, and this is going to be fantastic.
Are you ready?
I'm ready for number four.
Okay. Mama just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life has just begun, but now I've gonna throw it all away. Mama, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, as nothing really matters.
Ooh, there's more.
It's too late, my time has come. Send shivers down my spine, body's aching all the time. Goodbye, everybody, I've got to go. Gotta leave it all behind and face the truth. Mama, ooh, I don't wanna die. I sometimes wish I'd never been born at all.
Timmy Time. That was.
I feel like you were belting tonight like nobody's
business. The energy.
Never seen him this on fire.
It's pent up.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. Too much time.
Plus,
too
I got a time. Beaver in front of my face.
Hello. So to speak. That was amazing.
That was good, honey.
Did it sound familiar, Marcy?
Would it possibly be Queen?
Yes.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
That is it. Yeah. That is, according to Billboard magazine, the fourth most popular karaoke song.
You have hit karaoke, which is my genre.
It is.
I was trying to sound like Adam Lambert. Did I?
You sounded
like Adam Lambert.
He wishes. Yes. He sounded like that.
Yes.
Nailed I'd like to see it. Them.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Mm-hmm. A little Queen action.
Yep.
All right, Timmy time. I don't know how you're going to top that, but we've got number third song. We have the third.
I should change keys.
Ooh.
Or octaves.
Oh, my.
Do it all, honey.
Oh, my.
Do it all.
Yes, you have a vocal coach.
Right, my vocal coach made me worse.
I don't know. I think you are spot on tonight.
Yeah, you're thinking of my golf coach. Your vocal coach only makes you better, if that's possible. All right, song number three, Timmy time.
Okay. You guys ready for song number three?
Yes.
First I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just talked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made your leave your key. If I'd known for just 1 second, you'd be back to bother me. Now go walk out the door. Just turn around now, cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? You'd think I'd crumble. You'd think I'd lay down and die. Oh, no, not I. I will survive.
Nice.
The end. Man.
You're killing it
the
tonight,
the finale
honey.
Was just amazing.
Was it the end?
I improvised.
Yeah, you killed it.
That ending was phenomenal.
You know what the funny thing is? I've never seen that song ever.
What?
I don't even know what it is.
I Will Survive is what it's called.
I'm just teasing.
Oh.
But you know what? Right now, I can't think of who sings it.
It's a tough one.
Ooh.
I Will Survive.
Yeah, who sings that?
Oh, give me a hint, Jeff.
Gloria.
Gloria. Gloria. It's not Estefan.
Gloria Gaynor?
I wasn't going to get that one right. No.
That's a one-hit wonder, right?
Well, I don't know.
She may have had a few, but it was all like disco era.
Disco, baby.
Mm-hmm. Disco, dog.
But that one was the song.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Timmy time. That is fantastic. No, I can't.
I got a half point.
You got a half point. And how could there be two songs better than those three?
I can't even imagine, Jeff.
That is, yeah.
I've never heard this next one, though.
Really?
Yes, you have. No, come on, Timmy right, time.
Let's see. We're ready.
Here we go. This song number two.
Yeah.
Boy band.
You are my fire, the one desire. Believe when I say I want it that way. But we are two worlds apart. Can't reach to your heart. When you say that I want it that way, tell me why ain't nothing but a heartache. Tell me why
ain't nothing but a mistake.
Tell me why
I never wanna hear you say,
cause I want it that way.
Timmy time.
Killed
amazing.
It again.
Amazing.
So that was his genre when I met him.
Oh,
boy bands.
Really? Yep.
Oh, boy bands. And,
boy bands.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
I like them.
Do you know which one that was?
I like them.
I like them.
I want it that way, but I couldn't tell you which boy band it was. They all kind of blended into one for me, but Tim knew them all.
I
probably
do not
personally.
Think that was the one with...
Which one do you think it was, Marcy?
Ugh, just to take a stab... Backstreet Boys.
Yes.
Did I nail it?
Congratulations.
It was not Justin Timberlake.
It was not in sync.
They were top Backstreet Boys back in the 90s.
That was the Backstreet
Boys. New kids on the block. Let's rock.
You were into them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Improv a few, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear some.
Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh.
He looked right like a boy band when I met him.
First time on the scene.
See?
I do. There you go. Mm-mm, mm-mm,
mm-mm. That's pretty good, Timmy time. Pretty good, Timmy time.
Well done.
Well done on the beatbox.
Well, you know what? I used to listen to the Fat Boys.
Yeah.
That's where my clients did.
Back. And you know they can never be white. The fat boys. The fat boys.
Oh, sorry. I got stuck. I got stuck there for a second. I can't believe there's one more to go.
I know. It seems like there's.
We're
be
nailing
more.
These, we're but fire. They are the top five karaoke yeah. songs. So everyone in the world should know them.
Yes. True. True. I was surprised. Here's what I was surprised. We talked about this earlier when we were playing golf. I was surprised that Friends in Low Places was not on here. Because I feel like when yeah. when I ever go to a karaoke, that is a big player.
It's a
and
player.
And I got you, babe.
Yeah, I got you, babe.
Yeah.
This ain't a low world around.
That was always my song. I used to always
really?
Make my friend do it with me. Yeah. And she always had to do the boy part.
You did the share part? The whole world.
Yeah. All through college. Yep.
Like a little hard on you. Okay.
I miss our road trips.
Well, you know what? We're about to have one.
We are.
We're going to Lake Murray.
We are.
If you haven't signed up for Lake Murray, this is what you're going to miss.
Come on.
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a very...
With the megaphone.
Oh. Singing. You're going to sing while you're running that 25K?
That was a lie. I'm not doing that.
Oh, but you should.
Yeah.
Didn't someone recognize your voice?
Yeah.
At Lake, was that Lake Murray?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From when we were working Bandera.
Because he talks to the entire race.
And he's like, hey, you Timmy Time?
You famous, brother.
You famous.
He's so famous.
In the running world.
He is. He's famous in a lot of circles.
True.
Yeah.
I was up in Wisconsin this past week on business. Mm-hmm. People are asking me, where's Timmy Time?
Yeah. Seriously?
He's big. He's big.
He's big in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
Who would have known?
I
don't
know.
I had no idea.
And
he gets around.
Slovakia? What's that one?
Latvia.
Latvia.
Oh, yeah, they
not
love
Slovakia. Totally
the
different
Latvians
place.
Love yes. them some Timmy yeah. Time.
They do.
That is,
they do.
That is a true statement.
I get
statement.
Constant emails asking them if I'd send them money. like their parents need money. Yeah. Something happened. Constantly.
You pop that into Google Translate.
Send them money.
Yeah. So popular. Like they lost their credit card and they're trying to get home and they just need like $500.
You know the...
Did you guys get those?
Yeah, but it's funny you say that because I feel like the scam artists are getting more sophisticated.
Yeah.
Like the other day I got a text, okay, on my phone that said, hey, this is, I won't say the name, but it's our CEO and I've never met him. I'm like, oh, why is he?
He's texting you personally. Me. We
like,
all excited?
Hey. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, I'm needed by the CEO. And it said, I need you to do me a favor. I'm in a meeting. I'll text you here in a second. I'm like, oh, wow. So I'm ready.
You're on go.
And he said, hey, I need you to go to Walmart and get me some Apple gift cards and send me the code. And I'm like, wait a minute.
But you realized.
Yeah, I realized
it. A lot of people
it.
Don't realize, especially if it's their boss.
I wasn't sure. I'm like, this doesn't sound right.
This doesn't sound like something he would be asking me to do.
Yeah.
Well done, Jeff.
So, yeah. And then I texted Allison. I said, you won't believe what happened. She goes, oh, it happens all the time at church. People ask, like, one of our pastors, so-and-so needs Apple gift card codes. And that's how they get free stuff. It's crazy.
Dang it all.
So you couldn't tell that was my number that I was texting you?
No. Oh, that was you. That was you.
It's working.
That was your
Tim
burner phone.
Tim has been buying on Apple like nobody's business.
all these songs. That's why he's so good.
Uh-huh. I know.
Yeah, how many burner phones do you have, Timmy Time?
17.
Oh, wow.
On a rotating basis.
Yep. How do you keep track of them all?
Don't need to.
Color coded?
You color coded.
They're burning for a while.
Oh. Well, we have one more to go.
Uno más.
This may be the best one.
Oh,
I think.
I can't wait.
Do you know this song?
Mm-mm, never heard of it.
Okay.
Really?
Well, Timmy Time.
Whoa. She's pretty good looking, though.
Whenever you're ready.
The best thing about being a woman is the prerogative to have a little fun and totally crazy. Forget I'm a lady. Men's shorts, really go wild. Yeah, doing it in style. Get in the action. Feel the attraction. Color my hair, do what I dare. Wanna be free, yeah, to feel the way I feel. Man, I feel like a woman.
That was so good.
Timmy Time.
I jacked that one up, but it was
no,
fun. Actually, I thought you did great.
It's part of the charm.
Yes.
Yep.
It's part of the charm. Any idea what that was, Marcy?
I feel like a woman. Shania Twain.
Oh, hey.
This was the easiest one we've ever done.
Yeah, these are popular.
And I enjoyed it. Thank you for not making it so tough.
You know what? It was Billboard magazine.
I needed a lob ball. Yeah.
The Billboard magazine did the heavy lifting. I did the Google search.
And that was a fun group of songs.
It was. Well, Timmy Tom made them fun. Yeah. Even funner.
Funner.
Even funner.
They were the funnerest songs.
Funnerest.
I think I've ever heard. Yes. If you have not signed up for Lake Murray.
Yeah, come on.
You know, we should do karaoke at Lake Murray.
We should. I have that little
Friday night.
Machine.
Bring it.
Oh, yeah. Tim has it.
We're doing a meetup. Come to the Big Ass Runner tent.
Yep.
We will have karaoke going. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Yep.
If you haven't signed up, what are you waiting for?
It's time.
It's going to be sold out.
Oh, it's so
it's going to be sold out.
Bring your own chair because the chairs are sold out.
Oh, I forgot. It's $10. $10.
Oh, wow. $10. Cover charge.
Cover charge. Bring your own chair. Bring your own beer. But it's still $10.
You know why you need to charge a cover charge? To pay for the damage of the RV.
Yeah, that's true.
From last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard you got a cabin.
I did get a cabin.
Yeah, I'm trying to change the subject on the RV.
Yeah, the RV is a sticky subject. We kind of had some damage.
It was rainy. It was dark.
It was awful.
It was awful. And there were trees.
Who knew? Who knew
and
there
maybe
were trees?
Some insurance fraud by the end of all of it. I don't know. We're not talking about it.
Use the burner phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally burner phone.
Use the burner phone for that insurance fraud. Well, Timmy Time, this was fantastic.
Well,
it's good to hear
again.
The golden vocals
yet again.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Timmy Time.
Whoops. See you guys on race day or the night before. Is that race Eve?
Come in Friday.
Yeah, come
the
in
race
Friday.
Is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Stay for Saturday night.
Stay
and
Saturday
Sunday.
Night.
With
hang
vocals.
Out Sunday. We'll do breakfast.
Big ass runner pancakes.
Ooh, big ass pancakes.
Take the grill.
Big ass pancakes.
There you go.
Peace.
Let's go, girls. Come on.
Well, believe it or not, that is the end of episode number 166 of the Big Ass Runner. Thank you for listening in and for everyone that was part of the show. Josh, for that amazing intro to the coaches, Coach Melody and Coach Greg, for sharing your wisdom nuggets served up hot and fresh. And of course, to the golden vocals and flowing locks of Timmy Time and Marcy for joining us as well. And of course, a big shout out and thanks to our audio engineer that makes us sound so good. It's Steve Sarsaparilla Saunders. Trail tip of the week comes to us from Donnie. Donnie says, don't forget to get enough protein in training because you are breaking down those muscle fibers, you need to build them back up. Are you getting enough protein? Great tip, Donnie. We will make sure we are checking that out. Get your protein in post-race and build those muscle fibers back. But with that, get out there, hit those trails, and keep running your asses off.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Coach Greg, my voice is cracked. Coach Greg, what about you? Intro to the coaches, Coach Melody and Coach Greg, for sharing your wisdom nuggets